Welcome to a new session of HFS Unfiltered Stories. My name is Ashish Chaturvedi and I'm a practice leader at HFS Research. Recently, we released our Horizon report on ADA Quad Factor Services for the Generative Enterprise, where ADA stands for Analytics, AI, Data Platforms, and Automation. We profiled around 27 providers, and out of those 27, Eviden was one of them. And it also happened to be positioned as a Horizon 3 player. Now, this is the highest level of recognition that a provider can get in a Horizon study. So we thought of getting into a conversation with a senior leader at Eviden, getting his perspective on how they are seeing this market right now evolve and what is their go-to-market strategy as we are witnessing rapid activities in this space. So without further ado, let me hand it over to my fellow participants for a quick round of introduction and then we'll delve right in. So Chetan, why not start with you?
Sure. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me and giving this opportunity. My name is Chetan Manjarekar. I work for Atos. I lead the digital transformation practices, both in smart platforms as well as transformation acceleration.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So I've been with HFS for 3 years and I've been an integral part of this report, have been able to speak to so many different service providers, and it was great analyzing what Eviden did. And today it's really looking forward to speaking to Chetan and getting to know more about what they're doing in this space.
Perfect. So Chetan, let me start with a study finding. So when we asked enterprises, what are your goals that you are trying to achieve through the ADA Quad Factor technologies? The first one came up was improved CX, customer experience. About 75% of enterprises said that their main goal is to improve customer experience. Second and the third most voted options were operational cost and efficiency gains, which 61% enterprises said. So what are you right now seeing in terms of what your clients are after through these four technologies? That is one. And how they are using this in tandem and what are they trying to achieve through this?
Sure. So let me start by saying that for our clients, driving digital transformation at an accelerated pace is still their main agenda. But over the last recent years, with Gen AI making a massive impact, usage of AI and generative AI technologies in a smart, meaningful way for their enterprise has become equally important. What this means is that our clients won't invest in digital transformation unless it is directly correlated with a business outcome. They are very serious about that correlation. And you talked about the four ADA technologies, analytics, AI, data platforms, and automation. They are core and central to achieving success in both these dimensions. Now, what does this help us achieve for our clients? You talked about customer experience. I would also include in it employee experience. But the factors around cost optimization, operational improvement, efficiency, productivity, though they are included, what they are looking at is how does the customer see this? How does the customer experience their business, their products, their service experience? And how enriched are their journeys becoming? To give you an example, in healthcare, the use of these combined technologies is used for driving the concept of digital front door. Right at the first touch point, a patient would want to encounter a health system. Something that starts well, ends in better care outcomes. So that's the mindset. They also want to drive a lot of innovation. And to be able to understand the right factors to innovate, they need to capture a lot of information around how customers are consuming their services or their products, which brings in how do we capture that telemetry? How do we get the customer feedback? And more importantly, the right customer information to populate the next generation customer 360. Armed with that, there is a new sophisticated way of engaging with clients, the end customers. So the better they know the customers, the better impact they can drive on their experience, which brings us back to the customer experience point that you mentioned. That is still important. This manifests in areas like smarter factories, smart infrastructure, safer venues, better public services, and the likes. So that's how we see the goals and what our clients want to achieve and what we help them deliver.
Oh, understood. In fact, when we were talking to clients, whenever they were talking about customer experience, employee experience, and partner experience also came into the phrase. So it's sort of a trio. They are interlinked.
Absolutely.
Ritika, you wanted to ask something.
Yeah. So, Chetan, what we've historically seen is analytics was the main spending that the organizations would invest in out of all the ADA pillars that we have analyzed. So it was roughly about 29%, but now it's expected to be in the next 2 years about 24%. And the baton has been passed on to AI now, which is currently or historically has been about 19%, but it's expected to move to a whopping 31% in the next 2 years. So that's a big shift that we are seeing. And we wanted to check if are you seeing a similar shift and what are the kind of changes that you all are making to your offerings to align with that shift that's happening?
Very important point and not surprising, right? Look at what has happened in the last 2.5 years with generative AI and the new technologies, and it keeps changing. Let me remind that analytics is not dead yet. There are some things that can be simply achieved at a much cost-effective, faster rate with traditional machine learning capabilities that is unbeatable, right? But naturally so, the attention with Gen AI, agentic AI, these technologies suddenly opening new avenues and helping to solve problems that seemed unresolvable is unprecedented. It's opening a completely fresh way to reimagine how a business challenge can be solved, how a business process can be reimagined. So we will see more and more movement in that direction. We have been using AI as part of several of our offerings for quite some time. Most primary among that was automation. It almost went hand in hand. And to some extent, we always like to say that automation, so far at least, was the best delivery mechanism for artificial intelligence. What has happened with agentic AI is that it is driving a rethink of how we do automation, how do we deliver? So there is that kind of a blur between automation and AI. And we are constantly watching those trends. What we also see is there is more and more adoption of AI, not just from a data perspective, insight generation perspective, but it has become core to even applications. Our applications are now termed as smart applications with embedded AI, machine learning, even generative capabilities with the interfaces that have their own custom co-pilots. So co-pilots are becoming commonplace more and more. If we go to COTS products, they focus on data, AI, and then the core capabilities of the platform, whether it is ERP, whether it is CRM, or whether it is even workflow orchestrations. And we provide world-leading services across all these, and many of these are our close partners. Having said that, though, keep in mind that data foundation, what you call in ADA as the data platforms, is evolving very rapidly, and they are changing. The platforms are becoming very sophisticated. Many of them have themselves started bringing in Gen AI capabilities. Several of them having co-pilots, starting from data ingestion all the way to how do you consume data. So our change, our evolution of the offerings, or some people may call it product evolution, is happening in that direction to meet these changes. One important point I would like to stress, though, is the need for responsible AI. And also the point that AI, while all this happens, and I completely agree with you, we are seeing that shift. Probably it is 34%, as you say, but AI is not alone. That needs to have this data platform foundation, the mechanisms of how you get the data, you know, usable, and the governance.
Completely with you on this, Chetan. In fact, most of the most impactful deals or engagements that we came across, it was not just AI, but it was a combination where all the four were moving in lockstep. Having said that, the penetration still remains low. So everybody is bought into the potential, but if you look at the penetration, it's still low. And one of the biggest impediments is data readiness. About 74% of organizations told us that we are not data ready for, you know, going the distance. Is it a challenge that you also often come across your clients as well? And how are you approaching this maze? I understand that data platforms is solving some part of it, but I think still there is fragmented, inconsistent, not ready data for, you know, full application of AI.
It is very true. And that problem always existed. The data volumes are not slowing down. They're in fact going to increase. So this specific problem will become even more chronic. It's not just the data readiness. There is also an association which is equally in part around processes, practices, the organization culture, and more importantly, governance. And in all the excitement of AI, this area, I hope, gets its due attention. We are trying our best to help our customers. So to address the point that you just raised, the only way to tackle it is to work very closely with our customers, educate them, handhold them, and lead them in a direction that gets their enterprise having data readiness. For that specific purpose, we have a data readiness methodology. Core to it, central to it, is our data readiness assessment framework. We do a complete enterprise scan of most of their core processes to which their business outcomes are related, starting from data discovery to identifying how data is consumed, who are the key players governing, managing, generating that data. A fact that is very widely ignored is an enterprise's residual data knowledge. As more and more people transition, some of the older generation retires, along with them, the residual tribal knowledge of data also goes away. So we are helping them plan and protect how that stays within the enterprise. But elements of data quality, which brings to how do we talk even about missing data, data enrichment, what are the governing rules that help us do all that? And elements around data catalog, creating a taxonomy, which then brings not only just the data lineage part, but also elements of how people can use data in a more meaningful manner. The difficult part in all this is getting all the metadata in a streamlined form that is not only accessible, but accurate. An element I can't overemphasize is around data security. All these put together brings an organization to the data readiness factor that we talked about. This is complex. It is hard work. This is not a standardized process that can be used repetitively in an industry. Every customer of ours has a different setup, different challenges. But we work our way through it, handholding the customer, as I said earlier. With GenAI, the next challenge that has come in is that it uses a lot of unstructured data that till recently was not even making its ways to the organization repositories. So how do we bring in more focus on governance in those areas? Because keep in mind, proprietary data is the golden nugget. This is not captured in these generic LLMs. We have seen our clients with 30, 20 years of data that they have, them being able to use that so effectively that they can almost monetize that and get the advantage. The second product, the second element that drives more data readiness factor is the emergence of what is called as data product mindset or data product approach. We are seeing teams organizing themselves and, you know, being more of, for the lack of a better word, caretakers of data around that area. And they take a wholesome view. So that helps. And then there is a lot of hope that ability to generate synthetic data using GenAI helps us solve this. Get the data in a much more accurate, compliant manner that helps bring that balance, the diversity, so that the models are not, out of whack. And everybody believes that over time, standardization, more focus, more investments will go in this area.
Okay, so there's one more thing that I wanted to ask you, Chetan. So what we saw during the analysis is Sweden has demonstrated a lot of innovation, especially in sectors like healthcare and utilities. For example, your IoT solutions that you developed for Scottish Water. So we wanted to understand how Sweden is prioritizing innovation within the ad hoc what factor to actually help develop industry-specific solutions. And if you could share a few examples with us about how it has helped to drive measurable business outcomes, that would be very interesting to hear.
Sure, great question and a great observation, Ritika. We are a customer-first organization, intensely customer-centric. So that is fundamental to all decisions that we make. And so is the case with innovation as well. We are in the business of delivering digital transformation at an accelerated pace. We want to deliver this successfully. But the best measure of success is whether our efforts have delivered the outcomes that the customers were looking for. So any innovation without keeping that in mind is meaningless effort that is put in. And we want to be as aligned to our customers' expectations, outcomes that they are looking for to deliver. So what we do is any idea that comes up, and there are lots of ideas, we actually have a structured process of capturing, encouraging people, our employees and resources to come up with these. We have communities that generate these ideas. But these ideas go through some sort of a filtering process, and that is very closely aligned to the 2-3 themes that I just talked about. But we always play to our technology strengths. What is also very deeply embedded within our DNA is the best way to succeed is to know our customers' industry, to know their challenge, to know their business processes. And without that knowledge, without that expertise that our industry-led teams bring in, our solutions will remain just a technology tool being applied to a solution, hoping to a challenge, hoping that the solution will emerge. It doesn't work like that. So we bring these two things together. Where we have seen the most success, and which also becomes a priority item for us, and we try to put in effort in convincing our clients, is our ability to co-innovate. And sometimes it is a tripartite co-innovation between customers, our partners, and our teams. And that has delivered flawless success that we have never even imagined. So that is the way we think about it. We try to avoid point solutions, Radhika, because that doesn't go anywhere. It is just a one-off effort. The customer values whatever we do, but what we believe in is long-term impact and something that can transform business processes.
This was a fascinating chat, Chetan, short and powerful. We are going to closely track your performance as new developments unfold in this space. But thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chetan.
Thank you so much.